Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife Annette and I. Well, today we are discussing, is everything that happens God's will? You know, many think that because God is sovereign, everything that happens is his will.
Well, Bill, we know too from the scriptures, if God was in control, the one thing he'd want to control is that people don't go to hell.
That's right. Yet many do. Because, you know, that's not God's decision. It's theirs.
Exactly. And also, you know, if a tragedy occurs, say a young child dies, it is usually stated at a funeral that God must have had a reason, or, you know, he's the one that took them home.
Right.
You know, their assumption is that God's will was done when this person died.
Right.
Yet evil, sickness, and tragedy are not God's will. And do you think child kidnapping or sex trafficking or murders or theft are God's will?
No, of course not. And, you know, there's numerous reasons why tragedy occurs. Number one, Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And in John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So Jesus just identified where the destruction and death comes from Satan. Then 1 John 3:8 says, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's why one of the reasons why he came. Number two, there is a law of sowing and reaping, Galatians 6:4. So men harm other men. They do evil, and they will reap what they've sown. There is a law of sin and death, Romans 8:2. You know, the wages of sin is death. It brings forth death. Also, there's a lack of knowledge on people's part, especially and on Christians' part, Hosea 4:6. So our lack of knowledge can cause us harm. And if we don't, say, pray in the morning and hear God's voice and we go do something, maybe if we would have taken the time to pray, he would have directed us not to go to that place or wherever, and that would have avoided the accident. But we didn't take the time to hear God's voice. So
that's a good point, you know, and we know, and it's not to put condemnation on anyone because none of us are perfect.
Right.
And we don't all hear God's voice perfectly or seek him maybe the way we should be.
Right.
But you're right. If we did do that and stay close to him, we would avoid a lot of tragedy.
Right. And he told us to meditate in his word day and night. See, if we're meditating in the word, then we will be more open to hearing his voice and avoid some tragedies. But many people don't do that. And again, not to put condemnation on anyone, we're not perfect, but we all need to learn and grow
in our spiritual walks, you know, with the Lord,
right,
as Christians.
Another reason is a lack of obedience to God's word. You know, we're supposed to obey his word. 1 John 3:22 says, whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And Psalms 107:17 says, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. So many times people are living in sin or, you know, just practicing sin, and that they don't realize that brings on affliction. So we need to avoid sin. And then also another reason is the earth itself rebels against sin. And that these, just some verses quickly, Leviticus 18:25, 1 Chronicles 16:30, Psalm 68:6, Psalm 67:5, and Isaiah 24:5 make it very clear that the earth itself rebels against the sin that's in it.
That makes sense.
So you have to read those verses, people. It's really eye-opening when you see what the Bible says.
I know. So it's really dangerous, really, to believe that is that everything that happens is God's will, because, you know, you read 2 Peter 3:9, where God says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and be saved. So his will is for all to be saved. But the fact is that most are not. They reject him. They make the decision and they choose to reject Christ, as Matthew 7:13 and 14 state, right?
Right.
The narrow road and the broad road.
Exactly.
And many are on the broad road.
Right. So they've chosen to reject him.
Yeah. So if God was in control of everything, that would be the number one thing he would control and influence to the point, you know, to make sure everybody is saved, because that's his will.
Right.
But it doesn't always happen.
And just to give a few verses that prove it's his will for all to be saved, Acts 2:21 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever. Romans 5:18, "The free gift came upon all men." 2 Corinthians 5:15, "And that he died for all." 1 Timothy 2:4 through 6 says, "Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, who gave himself a ransom for all." Hebrews 2:9, "He by the grace of God should taste death for every man." And one more, 1 John 2:2 says, "That he died for the sins of the whole world." So his desire is for the whole world, for everybody to come to him and get saved. But the fact is they don't. So his will is not being done. People are going to hell.
Yeah, good, very good verses that you just gave. You know, too, Bill, and people use the word God is sovereign or he's in control. But the word sovereign in the dictionary, we know it means self-governing, absolute, dominant ruler. And God is absolute ruler, but that doesn't mean that he controls all that happens.
Right, right. I mean, did he tell you what to eat today or what clothes to wear or where to go, what vacation to go on? No, people decide themselves. So not everything that occurs, he's controlling.
Exactly.
You know, so God is sovereign, but only outside his word. Psalms 89:34 and Psalms 119:89 explain. So in other words, he will not change anything he has already stated in his word. If he said what his will is regarding an issue, then he will not change it. For instance, since his word says he healed all that came to him and never once turned anyone away, then he will heal anyone that comes to him today. He doesn't show favorites. Oh, and by the way, you know, the word sovereign, that's not even in the Bible, that word.
Yeah, very true. You know, and many think, Bill, that you cannot know God's will and that he does whatever he wants because he's sovereign. And this is completely false for several reasons. And first, as Christians, we know from the scriptures we are actually expected to know his will in most situations.
Right. And listen to these verses. Ephesians 5:17 says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So he's telling us not to be unwise, you know, to be wise so we can understand. Colossians 1:9 says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding."
That's a great prayer to pray every day.
Right, right. And Proverbs 28:5 says, "They that seek the Lord understand all things." Well, that's a parable verse. 1 John 2:20 says, "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
Psalms 25:14, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant." So God will reveal his secrets to you. Jeremiah 9:24 says, "But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me." That's God speaking. Ephesians 1:9 says, "Having made known to us the mystery of his will." He's made known to us his will. John 16:13, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will show you things to come." He'll even show you the future.
Yeah, that's really another great scripture to pray and thank the Lord for, because, boy, do we need to know it today.
Do we
need to be led by him and close to the Lord today as never before?
That's for sure.
You know, also, Bill, in the Bible, we can take a look at, you know, look at these instances where God's will was not done. His will was for Moses, for example, to go and to speak to Pharaoh in Exodus 4:10 through 14. But Moses said he could not speak well. God told him again to go and to trust him, as he would be with his mouth. But Moses still protested, and God became angry, but finally allowed him to take Aaron. However, Aaron turned out to give in to the people's will and make a golden calf. So it wasn't God's will in the first place for Moses to take Aaron.
Right. He just allowed it. Now also, what about when the Israelites wanted a king in 1 Samuel 8:7? Well, it displeased Samuel and the Lord because they were rejecting God to reign over them. It was not God's will for them to have a king, but he allowed it. Look at Hosea 8:4 says, "They have set up kings, but not by me. they have made princes, and I knew it not.
Yeah, that's a good verse. Also, in Luke 1, 13 through 19, Zacharias was told that his wife would have a child. He questioned the angel when he should have simply said, so be it, you know, as Mary did
right.
with the angel. You know, he was struck mute for 9 months. This was not God's will for him to have to learn the hard way.
That's right. That's right. Now, we do need to ask if it's God's will for things such as, where am I to move to? What job should I take? Or what church should I attend? Those things are not in the Bible, so you need to seek God's will on that.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, of course, in the Bible, though, we know some of the things we don't have to seek him about because it's obvious it's God's will. We don't have to ask him, should I witness and share the gospel? Or is it God's will to pray daily? Is it God's will to feed the poor? Is it his will to heal all? We know in the scripture, his will is to do those things.
Right.
Yes, healing.
Right. It's spelled out in his word in those areas.
Exactly. You know, and many combine all prayer into one form of prayer, and they just pray to the Lord with situations. They just say, Lord, if it be thy will. Yet there are several types of prayer in the Bible.
Right. Look at, there's a prayer of submission, Romans 15, 32, 1 Corinthians 16, 7, Hebrews 6, 3. There's a prayer of consecration and dedication, 1 Chronicles 26, 27, 2 Chronicles 2, 4, John 10, 22. There's a prayer of intercession, and that's Job 42, 8, Jeremiah 2, Daniel 9, and so forth. There's a prayer of supplication, Psalms 30, verse 8, Daniel 9, 17. And there's a prayer of faith, James 1, 6, and James 5, 15.
Yeah, those are excellent.
So there are different types of prayer, different ways to pray. Not every prayer is, Lord, if it be thy will.
Exactly. You know, and also when you said prayer of intercession, it made me think of Esther also, how she interceded
right.
and with fasting and so forth.
Right, right. You know, in the prayer of faith, it says, if you don't have faith, then you won't receive anything from God. And so that's different than a prayer of submission.
Yes.
You know, so anyway, we could go on about that, but we're going to keep moving here. You know, here's some instances that show clearly Jesus expected them to know his will. When Jesus came near to the city of Jerusalem and he wept, saying, if you had known the time of your visitation, that's in Luke 19, 42 through 44. Well, the people were accountable to know the scriptures, Hebrews 10, 7, which told of his day to enter Jerusalem as the Savior of the world. And that's in Psalms 118, 21 through 24. Isaiah 25, 8 and 9, and Zechariah 9, 9. So since they didn't know the scriptures regarding this day, they would reject him and now suffer the consequences.
Oh, that's a good example.
See, that was in his word that he was going to come, that the day he was coming is all announced in his word. He expected them to know that, and they didn't.
Yes, also Jesus, in Matthew 17, 17, when the apostles couldn't cast a demon out of the boy, Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? So he expected that they should have had the faith required to believe
right.
and cast out the devil. If that same scenario occurred today, we would assume it was not God's will to deliver the child instead of thinking it was due to our lack of faith or something that we're missing.
Right.
You know, we would misinterpret the will of God and just say, well, I guess it wasn't his will that that boy gets set free. When we know from the scripture, it's always God's will to deliver somebody.
Right. Wouldn't want to admit it's our lack of faith. Oh, God forbid to say that about ourselves.
Yeah, or something that we missed.
Right.
It's never God that misses it.
That's for sure.
Right.
And when Jesus was talking with the disciples about his suffering he would soon endure, Peter rebuked him, saying, this shall not happen to you. That's in Matthew 16, 22. Jesus responded with, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. Now, Peter should have known the scriptures stating that Jesus had to suffer and die. And just to give you a few, it's Psalms 22 and also 34, 20. Psalms 41, 9, Isaiah 7, 14, Isaiah 50, verse 6, Isaiah 53, 5, Hosea 11, 1, Amos 8, 9, Micah 5, 2, and Zechariah 9, 9. All those places, it's in his word, and he expected him to know the word.
That's a good point. You know, Bill, some will quote the man who had leprosy also in the Bible, where he asked Jesus to heal him.
Right.
And the leper said, if it be God's will. And people try to make a doctrine by what the leper said instead of what Jesus said, because Jesus answered him and said, I will
That's right.
to heal him. And this is what we should make the doctrine out of, what Jesus said, not what the leper said, because we know in his word it is his will to heal all.
That's right. Exactly.
And, you know, sometimes, Bill, I think a person can come across seemingly so humble when they say, Lord, whatever your will is. And they may genuinely at times be humble in asking that and not putting that down. No. But however, sometimes Christians, we pray that and it's out of spiritual laziness. We don't want to take the time to seek him, what his will is in that situation.
Right.
And then if something bad occurs, instead of admitting it could have been something we missed, we think it must be God's will.
That's true.
And we didn't take the time to really seek him.
That's really a good point. That's right. And also some quote Romans 8:28 stating, all things work together for good to them that love God. They quote it as if whatever happened was God's will. But notice it also says, to them that love God. And Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, many do not keep his commandments, so not everything works out for good.
Good point.
That's just one point about that verse.
Yes, and another one too where people struggle about God's will is when people get sick. I mean, why do they work so hard to get well if it was God's will,
right?
You know, for them to be sick, for him to teach them something? Why go to the doctor? Why would you fight against God's will if you think God is in control and he may want to make you sick to teach you a lesson?
That's right. I know people use that as an excuse. Oh, I could witness to the nurse in the hospital or something. You know, but, you know, being well, you can witness to a lot more people than just one person in the hospital.
Exactly. And God, of course, you can work good out of a bad situation and have a good attitude while you're in the hospital and go ahead and share the gospel.
Sure.
That's just, you know, you're making good out of a bad situation, but it wasn't God's will in the first place that you be there.
Exactly. So number one, 1 John 3:8 says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So remember, And remember also, the woman bowed over. Jesus said, shouldn't this daughter of Abraham be loosed, whom Satan has bound? The devil was responsible for her illness. Sickness is the work of the devil. And disease is always evil, as these verses state. Deuteronomy 7:15, Psalms 31:7, Psalms 41:8, Ecclesiastes 6:2, Luke 16:25, and many more. You know, so sickness is always the work of the devil. So to think, well, God's teaching me something through the sickness. Well, you might learn something, and that's great, but it wasn't God's will in the first place to have a person sick. God's a loving God. He doesn't want them sick. That's not his will.
And also, Bill, we know the Bible states that God will have mercy on whom he will, but that doesn't mean that everything that occurs is his will or that he may choose not to heal a person.
Right.
Right?
Right. They use that verse, though. He'll have mercy on who will have mercy. Like, in other words, if I choose this one, then I'll have mercy. But this one, I'm not choosing to have mercy. You know, in that sense, they're like grouping this all together. One thing, like God may do evil to one, and that's not the... God is a good God, and he's just.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't inflict evil on one and good on another just out of a whim.
Yes, yes. You know? I think there's only the only scripture, like in Job, where God's tried to reach man on his sickbed or his deathbed, right?
Right, right.
That's like the last resort where God's trying to just get a hold of somebody.
Right.
In that instance.
So they won't go to hell.
Exactly.
To keep back their soul from the pit, it says. So he'll allow the sickness if they won't learn the easy way and have to go to that degree before they'll cry out to God.
Yes, but he wants them to get saved and not go to hell. That's
right.
The bigger picture.
Right. Now, we also know that in Exodus, it states that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. However, Pharaoh already had a hard heart. As it says in Exodus 8:32, it says, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. He hardened his own heart. Exodus 9:7 says, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Exodus 9:35, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. So he initially had a hard heart. So God let him,
Go along. He didn't influence him or put his hand upon Pharaoh to influence him,
right.
You know, because he just allowed him to go with his hard heart. He was already that way.
Right.
You know, also, Bill, look at this last verse, also in Proverbs 18:21. You know, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Boy, that's a powerful
verse.
And that's
a loaded scripture. I mean, God could have said that death and life is within his power, but he said it's in our tongue. So we have more control in our lives than we think.
Mm-hmm.
God is sovereign, but only outside of his word, as you said. You know, and it is up to each one of us to find out what his word says.
That's right.
You know, to believe God took your child or put cancer on you to teach you something, that would cause a person to be bitter against God. Some would even become atheists thinking that way.
That's right.
You know, after all, why would you serve a God that for some unknown reason would take your child or would want to inflict you with a disease? How can you trust God if you never know if it's him bringing harm upon you?
That's right.
You know, it also can make you spiritually lazy and irresponsible for your own actions because you're just going to brush everything off as, oh, I guess that was God's will.
That's right, right. No, God is a good God who loves you and desires you to have a good, healthy, long life so we can witness and do the things God's called us to do. So get to know the God of the Bible so you won't be swayed by some of these incorrect religious beliefs.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.